sex, drugs, body parts, for cash. Do we have your attention? Well, I say with a healthy amount of chagrin that over here at Stateside, economics professor Adam Lutzger had us at body parts. As part of a special lecture at the University of Michigan Flint this week, Lutzger gave a presentation called Human Body Parts as Commodities. There's quite a theme here: the good, the bad, and the ugly of the free market. How do we as a society decide what's for sale? Why does the idea of selling something like a kidney make us so uncomfortable? We're joined now by Adam Lutzger to explore this debate surrounding so-called contested commodities like human organs. Good to have you on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You gave a presentation this week that pretty similar to a lecture that you give your students. How'd you come up with this idea, and what were you hoping that they get out of your presentation?
Okay, so I actually started it as a teaching strategy to get my students' attention. I realized that I had a lot of students who were both very pro-market, kind of libertarian about standard commodities, but they were also very pro-law and order, so they were against buying and selling lots of things that were illegal. So for right fun, I called those sex, drugs, and body parts.
Sure.
And I was trying to get them confused, basically, to say, how come we have an intuition that it's okay to buy and sell certain things, but not okay to buy and sell other things? What's the difference between one type of potential commodity and another?
What are some of the other contested commodities that you are really interested in that raise ethical and political value questions?
We talked a little bit about stem cells in that talk in the class. This actually grew out of a project at University of Michigan Flint where we had a common read for all the students of this book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
And so her stem cells actually, I think, her medical cells are taken under the big science regime. They're not patented. The doctor who starts duplicating them actually is giving them away to other researchers. There's a later case in the 70s and 80s of a guy named John Moore that's very famous among lawyers and economists because Moore's doctor does patent the material that he gets from Moore. And Moore finds out about it and actually sues the doctor, thinking that he should be the person who owns his own body. And the interesting court case is that it's a California case, and the California Supreme Court actually decides that the doctor should have the property rights in Moore's cells rather than Moore. And the court basically says Moore is just the raw material and his cells weren't valuable in his body. The doctor is the creative genius who turned the cells into a useful commodity.
Yes.
So the interesting action is the move from common property that we don't give people property rights in to what type of activity you have to do to privatize it and be able to make money off it.
So how, when you started challenging your students, what kind of reaction did you get? How did people get rattled?
Actually, I think it was kind of fun, right? The problem teaching economics is the technical material is sometimes dry to students, and thinking in terms of cases is kind of fun because then they're no longer having to get the right answer. Like, I was sort of fairly clear that there aren't necessarily right answers to these. We change our minds over time, historically. It also shakes people up a little because people who are conservative in one sphere might be liberal in another sphere. And that's more interesting than having people always have the kind of same political responses to things.
Sure. So you could look at sex, for instance, and realize that you could go to Nevada and go someplace that is completely legal that would get you arrested and your name in the paper if you were here.
Right. And right. It's also it's sort of good, I think, intellectually for us to think about, like, why is it that we think in general it's okay for people to buy and sell many things, but we're nervous about people buying or selling sex? We learn a little bit, I think, about what our alternative values are besides market values. Like, I think the simple answer there is that people think that economic exchanges are somehow impersonal and instrumental, whereas sex is something that's personal and intimate. And we get nervous about blurring the genres. We sort of have an intuition that these should be separate spheres, in the way that, like, you know, too much commerce within a family might make us nervous if parents start charging their children rent or something like that.
Sure. Let's talk about the current system we have, and let's talk about, we'll call them body parts, all right? Let people sell plasma, but not blood.
Right.
Why is that?
So I think there was a debate in the 1960s where actually economists made the argument that with blood, there can be diseases transmitted in the blood, and if you buy and sell blood, it might lower the quality of the blood supply because the people who sell blood might be people that need money for, you know, either medical treatments or because they are addicted to certain illegal drugs that can also cause them to get illnesses.
Okay.
So I think it was in part for some people, some economists, a kind of pragmatic argument about the quality of the blood supply. But for other people, I think it was sort of a social and moral issue that if you give something as gifts, it's part of an ongoing social relationship. So a thought that people owed each other things just as fellow human beings or as fellow citizens. It's kind of the sharing ethic that we teach people in kindergarten.
Sure enough.
And so we motivate donating blood through a kind of obligation of citizenship logic that's separate from a commerce and marketplace logic.
Yes. And you do feel that kind of surge of being a good person. And there's nothing crossing my mind, at least, about money and being compensated. But
right.
I guess that certainly could be something that could play into that. You want a kidney badly enough? I'm a match. What are you going to pay me?
Right. So I think what makes us nervous about that, right, is that we're worried about elements of tacit coercion in the market. Mm. That most likely, right, it'll be rich people who buy the kidneys because they'll be fairly expensive. And it will be poor people who will be more likely to sell their kidneys because I think in general, if you have other sources of money, selling part of your body doesn't strike you as a good option.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The fact that, because one of the sort of reasons we think market exchanges are usually morally non-problematic is because we think they're voluntary exchanges between people, and we put a lot of weight on the voluntary aspect of it. The more we think about people being coerced into an exchange, the less it feels like a morally good thing to us, and the more it feels like a type of exploitation.
Yes, that makes sense. Now certainly the goal line, if you will, gets moved because I was just reading about Dr. Joseph Murray, who performed the first successful organ transplant. And that was a kidney transplant. He just passed away this week. Well, that broke incredible ground, but it also brought a firestorm of criticism to something that eventually won him a Nobel Prize, and it's something that is part of our society today. So we do shift, don't we?
Yes, and actually what's counted as a commodity has changed dramatically over time. If you go back more than 500 years ago, even things like land and labor, which we think of as the standard things people buy and sell,
yeah,
those tended not to be commodities for sale. Land used to be conquered and inherited rather than bought and sold. Labor used to be mostly an inherited class position. The aristocracy had children that were aristocrats. The peasants had children that were peasants. So even just learning to buy and sell those was what economists called the development of capitalism. In the 20th century, with new technologies like the organ transplants, it makes new things possible. And so then we have to decide, are we going to allocate private property rights to people to do something? Are we going to treat something as a kind of common property that people share and give gifts? Similar issues come up not just in medicine and technology, but in kind of intellectual or cultural property. So the way the internet has affected our ability to copy music and has led to new issues about how do property rights work and cultural production.
You've done interesting work making economics challenging and intriguing, dare I say, when you do these presentations with your students and just raising questions that maybe have not occurred to most of us. And then you look at it through the eyes of an economist. So you've taught all of us a little something today, Dr. Lutzker.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on Stateside. Professor Adam Lutzker is with the University of Michigan, Flint, as a professor of economics.